Yeah. harder than every person. I recall a few days ago when the president walked in the room, whether you voted for him or not, whether you support his position or not, whether you like him or not, irregardless of your position with him, guess what? When he walked in the room, just by mere nature of who he was, everybody stood up, whether you're Republican or Democrat. It didn't matter because of the position that he held. How dare us not give God honor?
Yeah.
When he walks into the room. Matter of fact, when an adult walks into the room, we can't even stand up. All we can do is bow. God. Because ain't nobody like him. I did say, ain't nobody like him. Luke 9. This one, New King James Version.
All right.
Then he called his 12 disciples together.
All right.
And gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Skip down to verse 10. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. We got some land. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him and received him and spoke to him about the kingdom of God and healed those that were in need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, the disciples, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Somebody say men. Women and children, where are you? Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it and broke it and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. We are blessed by the reading of God's word on today. I like the way Luke explains things. Luke wants you to know that they only had 5,000 men, but that's only what we recorded with the men. Because guess what? They had women and children. So some scholars say they had maybe 15,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Wow. Our word for today is go do the thing. Stop playing. Go do the thing. What? Go do the thing. If you can help me out a little bit today, look at your neighbor. I know you don't do a little out there too much. I know you got your mask on, got your social distance. Tell them you ain't ready for what God's gonna do through you in 2022. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come tell you ain't ready. You ain't ready. You ain't ready for what God's gonna do through you in 2022. You ain't ready. I just came by to tell you to do the thing.
All right. Do the thing.
I was talking to coaches the other day because I noticed, and yeah, I'm not going to lie to you right now, sometimes when the team comes out, sometimes the team seems flat, right? They seem not enthusiastic. They seem like they have no energy. I always see the team come out like that, and you say, wondering if we're going to win. So they come out a little bit slow. And I believe right now the church is experiencing some of that. We're coming out a little bit slow in 2022. Delta, Omicron, Southwest, you know, American Airlines, all of COVID variant things that they got coming out. We're moving a little bit slow. And so those teams that come out a little bit slow, the coaches said sometimes their mindset is they just going to ease into the action. So I asked a couple of coaches, I said, coach, tell me, what can you do when a team comes out slow, when they have a slow start and they're sluggish? They don't seem to be really with it. They don't really seem to be connected to the game. They really don't really want to be here. What do you do? One coach said, well, one thing I've tried is full court press from the beginning. It gets the blood flowing. Full court press from the beginning. Gets their legs strong. Get the blood flowing. up in the lines, they're doing drills, you know, lay up in drills. And it's time to relax, and it's time to calm, it's time to slow. But what he's saying was, he said, if the pregame routine is just regular, he said they won't be ready for the game speed.
All right.
When the game starts, they won't be ready for the speed. It's just lay up here, lay up there, drill here, drill there. They're not really excited about the game at that point. That you have to step up the pregame. You have to step up the intensity of the pregame. How about you run some defensive drills? How about you run a little scrimmage? Whatever's necessary so they can do the thing.
All right.
That's a good idea. Full court press, change the pregame routine. And thirdly, it says, if you often practice slow, then the game will be slow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, somebody called that. If you often practice slow, the game will be slow. Maybe we got to go hard and practice.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we got to go hard and practice and change the intensity and have some competitive drill that the church, so that the team can go ahead and just do the thing.
Uh-huh.
Do the thing. That's my urban slang. It says, you know, do what's necessary to get it done.
All right.
Do what's necessary to get it done. And so the coach said to me, if we want to take it to the next level, what we have to do is change the mindset of our team. We've got to engage them in behavior that helps them get it done.
All right.
I said, okay, I see. He said, what happens is we have to not do the norm. Do something unusual. We got to make them uncomfortable. And I said, Lord, make us uncomfortable. Make us uncomfortable that we not be Christian in name only.
Uh-huh.
Make us uncomfortable. Make us uncomfortable so we can do the thing, God. Make us uncomfortable. And if you want to, God, go ahead and feel free. You can start at Bethsaida. Right. You can go ahead and outpour your spirit right here at Bethsaida. Go ahead and do the thing and start it with me.
Well, come on.
So I just came out to be a coach today. So we can figure out how to do the thing. Because I believe one of the greatest joys and privileges that we get to do is we get to bear the name of Christ.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful we can worship and sing in the choir and be an usher and work on the media ministry. But one of the greatest joys, if you put it in perspective, one of the greatest privileges that he's given us, he's entrusted to us, is that we get to carry his name. How beautiful is that? We get to let the world know who Jesus is. We get to let them know that he is who he said he is, and he can do what he says he can do. We get the privilege of doing that. And so, for some of us, who may not, you know, we won't take offense, but you understand what I mean. For some of us, Max, our lives are so much, all of us should be, so much bigger than church until we are tired of church. Our lives are about ministry, being impactful, not being cute and impressive, but being so impactful that we make a difference and that until church just tires us. Somebody said, oh, Lord. Yeah. Really, look, what God wants some people who want to be effective in ministry, who are okay with giving up comfort, who are okay with giving up safety, who are okay with doing something that nobody else has ever done before. Impactful ministry. Somebody said, do the thing. Wonder what will my story be? What will your story be? God is crafting a beautiful story, a beautiful narrative of your life. I wonder what your life will look like. What will be the storyline? What will be the storyline? You and I was looking at that and I said, wait a minute. I gotta go back and remind us, because I'm the coach today. I gotta go back and remind us that we are in ministry.
Okay.
If you claim the name of Jesus, help me understand. You do not need a microphone, and you do not need to stand here. If your ministry is confined to this place, then shame on you. You are in ministry. Okay, let me help you. When you wake up in the morning and get out of the bed,
All right. Go
ahead and clock in, because you are in ministry. Don't think this is the place where you get to come and minister. I'm telling you, what happens is, I was thinking about it, Robert reminded me this morning. I was thinking about all the people, all the gifts, all the callings that are in this house. And I said, wow, do they know how they're in ministry beyond 84? Jesus, Deb is in ministry.
All right.
Deb is ordering plates for people. Asking people who want plates and having food ordered to people's house on Thursday. She not bragging about it. She ain't got no cards. She ain't told nobody about it. But Deb is in ministry.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to help you. Come on, Carlos. Carlos made the news last week. Carlos all on Facebook. Y'all hear and her company, she got the highest, whatever it was, the customer service of the year, of the week, of the month. Who does that? If you are an employee of the month, you are a believer, guess what? That's what's supposed to happen. Because you're in ministry. And the article talks about how wonderful she was. People enjoyed coming into the building because of her spirit, because of her attitude, because of her personality. They loved coming in. Because when they came in the door, guess what? They had an encounter with Jesus. Because Carlos is in ministry.
All right.
Let me tell you who else. I was looking at Sister Julie. I said, wait a minute. Every time she goes to that state school, and she used to minister to those babies that sometimes parents don't even care about. Parents don't come and visit them, but they look forward to seeing Miss Julie come in the door.
Because
Miss Julie is in ministry. Yeah. Well, let's keep going. I kept looking. I said, wait a minute. I thought about Carla. Carla's at the school talking to the kids up and down the hallway at the world of school. Also, I've been talking to single parents about, I'm a single parent. Let me tell you how I do it. I can minister to you. Guess what? Sometimes I don't have all that I need, but God provides. So she's speaking to single moms, and she's speaking their language. Carla is in ministry. Well, there's somebody else. I heard about Aunt Jean. Aunt Thelma. Guess what she's been doing? Sometimes she takes folks to the hospital and pick people up, drop people up, to take them to get groceries and do all kinds of things people.
Yeah.
Not because she wants to be seen. She's not passing out cards. She's not putting in an announcement.
Yeah.
She's just in ministry.
Come on.
So this your Aunt Jean took me to the hospital, to the doctor. Oh, Aunt Jean took me. I'm like, good, how old is Aunt Jean? She was driving all over the world. Hey, Jesus, I'm not gonna rush out. I'm gonna work. I'm gonna go along and do what God wants me to do because I still got breath in my body.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go along and do ministry.
Yeah.
Then I thought about Little Ruth. She's doing the same thing. She takes folks to the doctor, take folks, go to the store, grocery shop for them, taking the pens of people's house they can't get out, helping them with it, helping caregivers. Who does that, Little Ruth? People that are in ministry. Guess what? I just came out of reminder, you still the one for the job.
Yeah.
You still been handpicked. You still been selected. I can't even forget about you, Sister Freeman. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not in ministry. Every time you minister to your husband that's going through a difficult time right now, don't let nobody tell you you need a microphone because you're in ministry.
Yeah.
Every time, Gab, you get ready to pray for that team. Even when you lose and when you win, when you huddle everybody up and you call them to pray, don't tell me you're not in ministry, Gab. You still the one that God wants to you. Look at the disciples. Verse 9. I'm sorry, chapter 9, 1 and 2. Look at what he says. He says, Y'all come in. Come in. Y'all lean on me. He calls them all together. Y'all read that?
Uh-huh.
And gave them power and authority over demons and then over diseases. And told them to send them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He says, now let's talk. Let's chat. You have been following after me. You have been following the course. Ernest, when you leave. All right. You have been following after me. You followed me first. Okay? You followed me first. He said, "You disciples, it just means learn. You learned how I do it. You've watched my methods.
Uh-huh.
It's been embedded in your heart. It's been embedded in your mind. You've been watching me. Look at chapter 8. He said, you've been watching me. You've been observing. You've been primarily just been observing and listening to what I've been doing. He said, in chapter 8, he talks about the parable of the soil. He said, remember I talked to you all about the soil? There's one seed receives the word of God, but there are four types of people that receive the word of God, four types of heart that receive the word of God. He said, remember I talked to y'all about that? Y'all have been listening. Y'all have been leaning in and paying attention. He said, then guess what? Then I said, let's go to the other side. Remember that? We got on the boat together, and we got on the boat, and the boat got a little rocky, you know, and y'all woke me up and said, don't you care that we perish? Remember that? And I said to y'all, oh, ye of little faith. So at that moment, I had to teach you you by faith because you had forgot that I'm still on the boat. And so it's okay to go through a hard time as long as he's still on the boat with you. And so what happens is, he said, y'all woke me up, and I woke up and I said, what's wrong with y'all? Oh my goodness, he said, calm down. He looks at the wind and the waves. He said, be still. He said, y'all remember that? Y'all were with me. Y'all were watching. Y'all were observing. You've been learning. You've been following after me. And he said, after I did that, you said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him.
Yeah.
He said, then keep reading, keep reading. He said, gee, y'all remember that? After I challenged your faith, we got back to the shore. There was a man there, demon possessed, in the tomb, and he was naked with no clothes on.
Well.
He said, you remember that? And I cast the demon. The demon's legion. I cast the demons out of the man. They went into the swamp. Y'all remember that? Y'all have been walking with me. You've been learning. You've been following me. You've been watching me. He said, then by the time we got through with the demon and going into the pigs, he said, then here comes Jairus. Jairus said, my daughter is almost about to die. She's 12 years of age. Lord, can you come to my house? Y'all remember that story? And the disciples said, yeah, remember that. He said, y'all were following me. Y'all were listening. Y'all were leaning in. You were soaking up everything that I was saying, everything that I was doing. He said, remember, and I'm talking to Jairus. When I was talking to Jairus, I really couldn't talk to him like I wanted to because the crowd got so enthralled. The crowd got so full. He said, and then somebody touched me. He said, wait a minute. He said, then I said, who touched me? And I'm trying to talk to Jairus here about his daughter. That I felt healing virtue come from my body. I felt it flow from my body. Guess what? So Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years of age, I'm trying to go to his house. A woman with an issue of blood for the 12 years, she put on my coat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus said, all that going on at one time. He said, and in an instant, she was healed. And he said, who touched me? They said, Jesus? Well, it could be anybody. There's a lot of people around here. It could be anybody that touched you. Nah, 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 nah. This wasn't no regular
kind of touch.
Come on, come on. He said, do you remember that? He said, they'll heal this woman. And then I started to head back to Jairus' house. We get to Jairus' house. They said, don't rush. Don't worry. She's already dead. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, y'all still know who I am. So Jesus goes in there, heals the baby, wakes up and says, arise. He restores Jairus' daughter. He said, you remember all of that? He said, you were with me the whole time. All through those times, day after day, week after week, month after month, you observed me. You listened. You leaned in. He said, now you're up. It's your time to get it together. He said, you're up, you're up, you're up, you're up, you're up. He said, you have gone through what? The training.
Well,
you have been willing to be trained. You have been willing to risk it all. He said, now you're saying, yes, God, we're all in. And here it is. He said, since you were able to risk it all, you prioritized my kingdom. Guess what? You left your nest, you left your businesses, you left family to follow after me wholeheartedly. And he said, that's the highest ambition that we can have as believers, is to serve him.
All right, come on, come on.
It's a great thing to get a business.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to get stuff. He said, but what is the main priority? Is it really to please me? What is the main priority? I mean, glad that everybody came today, but guess what? We really just came to see him.
Yeah.
We came to have an encounter with him. He said, what is the main priority? What's your highest ambition? Are you not satisfied enough with me that you need something else as a substitute? He said, what is it? Your highest ambition ought to be that you're excited to serve in the kingdom.
All right.
Man, we're not excited. We're not excited. Shouldn't that be our greatest ambition? Is to go do the thing? Shouldn't our greatest ambition be to be to get his applause?
Uh-huh.
Morgan may not clap, but it's all right. I want him to clap at the end of the day. Is God clapping because I do this?
Come on.
Then look what he says. Look what he says in the first one. He called him. He said, y'all ready. Y'all ready. Y'all been willing to be trained. You done prioritized the kingdom. You ready to risk it all for me? He said, you ready. Get on in the game. Put your uniform on. Get on in the game.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. He said, wait a minute. I'm going to give you power and authority and to do some ministry, okay? But guess what? The power, I was reading this, I thought, I said, well, shoot, if you're sitting on the bench, you don't need no power. Yeah, if you're not in the game, you don't need no power, you don't need no authority. He said, that's why he said, get up off your blessed assurance. Get up. That's the bench, Darren. Get up off the bench, he said, and get in the game. He said, because I've called you for something something more. He said, so if you're on the bench, you don't need no power. I'm looking for the people who really want the power.
Yeah.
Who really want the power? I just want to, I know she prays so great. You know, she really knows that word. You can do it. You can do it too. I want to give you the power and the authority. Here it is, he says, in the Greek word, the word power, of course, means dunamis, and we talked about this before. Dunamis in Greek. Dunamis means what? I'm giving you the strength. I'm going to give you the power to accomplish the task. So know that whatever I give you to do, guess what? I'm going to give you the means to get it done.
You're right.
I want to make sure that you're successful to get it done. So that the dunamis, the power, whatever the assignment is, I'm going to equip you to perform it. That's the dunamis power.
All right.
Okay? Then he says, now, look at this other one, the authority. That's Greek word, exousia. That means delegated authority. Guess what? You get the official power. You get the official authority from me. I'm trying to explain this best to you. Demons recognize Jesus' authority. As we already seen. Demons recognize his authority. Well, Jesus was going to say, what he said was, what's about to happen is, it's about to multiply. So it's not just Jesus. It's about to be times 12. Did y'all catch that? Okay, you got power. You're like Oprah. You got power. You got power. You got authority. You got authority. I'm going to give 12 of y'all the power and authority to go out there and turn things upside down. Okay. And so it's kind of like my admin assistant. She often will send emails to the team. I guess something needs to be related to the team. She'll send an email. Okay. But if it's something that's real serious, that's a deadline sensitive issue, she will put in the email, Miss Williams said.
Y'all didn't catch it. Y'all didn't catch it.
If it's something she really want to get done, and they've been lagging about getting stuff done, and so what she will say is, per Miss Williams. So she's saying what? I have the authority to use her name.
All right.
And even if she didn't write the email, just by she delegated me the authority, guess what? So when I said it, it's just like she said it. That's not how she does that sometimes. And let's look at Mark 6, because again, this is one of the stories that's also in Mark. Mark 6, you saw how Jesus said, how Mark said they sent about two by two. So you have a team of six that went out. And so Jesus multiplied, okay? He delegated the work. Because he said, it's now time, your training is done, you've got your graduation papers. He said, now it's time to turn up. Now it's time to take this thing to another level. All right. In verse 2, he says what? He said right there in verse 2, he sent him to preach the kingdom of God. So he said, now be real clear about this. You are clear about what the message is. It's not your message. It's the kingdom of God.
All right.
Don't get twisted. Don't preach your agenda. Don't preach what you want to preach. Preach the kingdom of God. Preach that Jesus is the Messiah. Preach, guess what? That sooner or later he's going to die and give his life to you. Preach. Preach the kingdom of God. Preach, repent. Preach, change your life and give your life to Christ. Preach the fact that Jesus, God sent his son, Jesus. I want you to preach the kingdom of God. Don't come up with your own agenda. I want you to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. He's here. He's present. We've been waiting for the Messiah. He is here. The one performing the miracles is him. It's Jesus. Don't get it twisted. It's not John the Baptist. It's Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is here. The Messiah, the promised Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. Don't keep talking about who is he. He is, I believe John said, like that John the Baptist said, is he the one or shall we look for another? And I believe the Baptist said something like this. He said, stop tripping. I mean, Jesus just said, really? Who gonna be blinded eyes?
Yeah.
Who's going to heathen around here? Is he the one or shall we look for another? Really, John?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, so here it is. He's saying, make sure you're clear about your message, where your power comes from, where your authority comes from, because I want your life to make a difference.
Yes.
Uh-oh. I want your life, to make a difference. Who will announce the good news? Who's going to preach Jesus? Who's going to take that speaking part? This is your part. This is your part in the game. Who will take their speaking point? It's your opportunity to speak up for the kingdom of God right now. It may not be popular, but it's necessary. I'm going to say that again. It may not be popular for you to speak up and say, you know what, there really is a truth.
There really is a standard. I know people are all over the place right now with all kind of values, but he says, at some point you have to say, as for me in my house, we're going to believe this truth. We're going to serve the Lord. And so here it is. He says, what you have to say, what you have to do in the earth is essential. They went from village to village, to street corners, to marketplaces, and they were doing all kinds of things because every ounce of their being was about the kingdom. Every ounce of their fiber was about the kingdom. When Jesus said, go, he didn't say it two or three times. He said, and he sent them, and they went. Wow, look at that obedience. He sent them, and they went. My question to us today is, everywhere we go, is it in our fiber every day? When we clock in every day? When we get to work every day or to school? Do we understand the representation of who he is and who we are in the earth? When you walk up and down that hallway and you may be the only senior that's abiding by rules, that understand there's a truth, there's a standard. I'm not skipping class. I'm not doing those things. I'm living for God. And you may sometimes feel like you're the only one. You are in ministry. Don't think 7th grader, 10th grader, 12th grader that you are not in ministry. When you stand for God, you're in ministry.
Yeah,
so here
yeah.
He is, he's saying, you all have, what you're going to be doing is going to be essential. Get out there, get to the villages, get to the street corners, and do it. Everywhere we go, every breath that we take today, that's my new prayer lately. God, if you gave me bread today, my question is why? Anybody with me? I was doing an interview the other day. I'm interviewing for a position. And in the interview, and I'm just kind of, it's been happening everywhere the last 2 weeks of my life. It's been happening. And I'm over somewhere doing something different, and it turns into ministry. And so I'm interviewing a girl for a job, professional interview. In the interview, she talks about she does not subscribe to Christianity. She does not subscribe to Christianity. We weren't talking about Christianity. I was talking about the values of our agency and what our agency stands on. It's important I let people know that in the interview because when they come in, they make her Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They see prayer going on. They make the people in the community know who we are, and so they will come in and ask for prayer. So it's important in the interview that I make sure you know what you're walking into.
Yes,
so I have to create a scenario so you can see, so you can't say nobody told me.
Yeah.
And so I was just describing that we're faith-based. And these are our values. We don't hire Christians. We're not looking to hire Christians. What we are looking for people to know is this is what our position is, and we work from our faith.
Right.
And she said, you know, I don't want to subscribe to Christianity. But you know why? Can I tell you why? And I said, sure. She says, when I was growing up, when I was younger, she says, I would ask questions till I thought the right people. I would ask questions to the appropriate people, to the people that were older than me, that had been in this church situation. And I did not get any answers. Wow. And she said, so the jury is still out for me.
All right.
Because I didn't get any shame on us.
Let's see. What's up?
That we couldn't give her the answer. So the interview's over and it's done. I'm not going to hire her. not for that reason, but for some other stuff. But what was interesting was I couldn't let it go. Because I just said we had ministry. And when we show up at work, the kingdom of God shows up at work. We don't leave it at home. And so what happens is who we are is who we are. Because witnessing is not about doing something. Witnessing is about who we are. We are a witness. And so what I do is, guess what? I have to email her back because she sent me some references, okay? And so I have to email her back and say to her, thank you for the references. I appreciate it. Great interview because we did have a great time. We became very conversational. So it was really a great interview. But it turned into ministry, into me almost discipling her.
Yeah.
Y'all miss it. You can't do that just the way it is in the interview. I can. Because I'm always on duty. Come on, somebody. We're always on duty.
Uh-huh.
And so I said to her, you know, we're going to still, because I asked, I told her the truth. I said, we're still going to be looking, you know, we'll talk later. We're still interviewing. I just had to put it on pause for a bit, but we're still interviewing in February. I said, but
I want to let you know, if you want those questions answered,
oh, don't miss that opportunity.
If you want the questions answered, I am more than free for you to give me a call outside of the job situation, because I want you to have him more than I want you to have this job.
Yeah.
I'm available to answer the questions.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is what we get to do. This is what we get to do. Well, go on down to verse 10. So they leave. Y'all see that? They send them, they go do the mission. Alright? Look at verse 10. And the apostles returned. Did y'all catch that? And told him all they had done. Wait a minute, Cheryl. They left as disciples. They left as learners. You're saying, now he's saying the apostles. Wait a minute. So now they come back, they go from learners, guess what? Oh, I'm gonna catch this. From learners to leaders. They are the sent out ones. They're not the bitch warmers. They're the ones who were sent out. He now calls them apostles because whenever God, look at scripture, whenever he changes your name, he changes your destiny. Paul used to be Saul. Y'all remember that? Abram became Abraham. Whenever God changed your name, he changed your purpose. He changed your destiny. He changed your reason for living. And now I said, the apostles, wait a minute. These are the sent out ones. They go from being learners to leaders. Wait a minute. They come back to give an account of how they handled the assignment. It's in the Bible. They came back to share with him what they had done. They came back to give an account. Jesus, you should have saw us. We was praying for people.
Yeah.
We was making a difference, Jesus. You should have saw us. You should have saw us. We were doing the thing. You should have saw us, Jesus. And they were so happy about it. And the question I have to ask you, Cheryl, how are you taking care of your assignment? What I gave you to do, that I've entrusted you to, how are you caring for it? Are you doing the thing?
Yes.
Is that your main priority? Then I have to say, Lord, forgive us for making you sick. Because everything else has become a priority.
All right.
Besides kingdom work.
Yeah.
So look at this. They are here. They came back to the Savior and said, let us tell you what we did. We want to give an account. And I don't know about nobody else in here. But when I stand before the Savior, I'm going to be looking for a what? A well done.
All
anybody
right.
Looking for a well done?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that you really can't get a well done until you've done well. Oh, you missed it. We're looking for a well done, but have we done well?
Come on.
Have we done well? Did we do the thing? It's one thing about it. Social media is out of control. One thing about it. He is not going to ask Morgan about her Instagram account. He's not going to ask her about her tweets. Not about the Facebook friends. He will ask us what? Do we know his son Jesus?
Yeah.
And guess what? Did we handle our son?
All right.
Did we handle the task that was given to us? Did we do the thing? And I'm just going to ask this real quick. We're about to talk to say now, what is the why? Have you figured out yet what's the why of your life? What's the why of your life? The disciples went through a whole lot as learners. They went through a whole lot with Jesus. He rebuked them sometimes, and they went through a whole lot, but they needed that process to develop, to move from being learners to leaders. And I can see them just getting really excited about that. Say, God, you know, we were able to explain the way you explained it to them, Jesus. We were able to understand it. People were able to understand how we communicated it to them. They were excited. We were making a difference. Wow. What's the why in my life?
Come on.
If you look at 11, verse 11 through 17, you'll see Jesus talked about, told him to come aside and get some rest. He said, I'm proud of you. You can see him say, I'm proud of you. He didn't say it in the Bible, but you can see that, couldn't you? When they tell him what they had done, he said, wow, come aside, let's get some rest. You tired? Mark said, y'all haven't had a chance to eat. He said, come on, y'all been coming and going. They had been doing ministry. I mean, going, going, so they hadn't even had a chance to get anything to eat. He said, let's come aside. Let's go to Bethsaida and get some rest. Y'all missed it. Let's go over here to a deserted place, remote place, and get some rest. Because y'all tired, y'all weary. And then he goes to the multitude. And then here's a story, another story. We're like, wow, he's going to teach them some more? He's going to teach them again? Yeah. We get here to the multitude. And then he says, wow, I thought they were going to get some rest for a second. Then now here comes the crowd. The multitudes have found out where they are. They yeah. come. And guess what? And he said, and they hung. Okay. So he says, okay, let's sit them in 50s. Okay. Listen, Jesus. We only have two fish and five loaves of bread. He said, sit them down in 50s. So, they think they really understand the words that come out. We got two fish and five loaves of bread. And we tied. You're not your best version of you when you die. So they tied. And they trying to rest. And he's like, did you understand me? He said, we had two big men, two fish and five. And he said, sit them down in 50s. And he said, you want us to go buy some food? We don't have enough for all these people. And he said, I'm going to show you about that I don't have enough mentality. Because anytime you don't have enough, all you need is me because I'm more than enough.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough gifts. I don't have enough, Sister Williams. I don't have enough. I can't be like Pastor. I don't have enough. He said, give me what you do have.
Yeah.
And watch me work it. Watch me work it. Look at this. And he says, because guess what I'm about to do with your don't have enough. I'm going to do through you what you can't do. Okay? All I need you to do is give it to me. And so here it is. He says, now what I want y'all to do is I want y'all to feed them. I want y'all to sit them down, and I want you to give them something to eat. And they look at him like, okay, he's not understanding anything that we are saying right now. I had to write this down because it was powerful. I said, Jesus acts whenever I obey. He shows out in my life whenever I obey. I didn't say nothing about y'all. Whenever I obey, seem like he's going to show out.
All right.
He does something through me that's beyond my means whenever I obey him. Look at this right here. And Jesus was saying to them, sit them down and we're going to feed them. He said, because y'all haven't learned this yet, so I got to teach you one more lesson. When you follow me, anything is all right.
Yeah.
When you follow me, I will do things that you can't even imagine that I can do. Well, I'll tell you about this little boy. My assistant, she's really funny. My assistant, talking about little things. God will take your little and just do miraculous things with it. Her little son is 8 years of age. I told the pastor, her little son, he's 8 years of age, and he reads biblical books. He's 8 years old. He's a genius. He's 8 years old. He reads books about stories of the Bible and parables. And so he went to school, little old him, 8 years old, went to school and started telling children about Jesus.
All right.
8 years old, little old him, went to school, started telling children all about Jesus and started saying things like, if you don't accept Jesus in your life, you know hell is real. At 8 years of age, Gab, and the school called her. Y'all missed it. The school called and said what? That he can't talk to the children like that. But the woman is a believer, and she said, I see what God is doing in his life. He's a little bitty fella, but I see God has his hand on him. He's probably going to be an evangelist, so I got to figure out how to curtail it that we not get into trouble here at the school. Because little children went home and said to their parents, they were going to die and go to hell, and some kids couldn't go to sleep. Y'all help me.
Right.
And so since some children couldn't sleep, we got to find a way there to help him understand there's some things he couldn't say. We try to explain to him, and he was just like this. He still didn't get it. Because he said it's in the Bible. Oh, y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. So here this little bitty boy is. He's taking so seriously. He said, Mom, what did I do wrong? Wow. In ministry at 8 years of age. A little fella. But they gave him to God when he was little.
All right.
They gave him to God when he could even say a word. And they see the hand of God on his life already. People, other kids read comic books and things like that. What he be reading? Like stuff from the Bible and all kind of biblical. I'm like, really? Who does that? 8 years of age. Jesus asked whether we obey. And this kid, what was interesting about him is that when I'm saying whenever we act, whenever we obey whatever God says, God acts. What happens is everybody was afraid of him. Some of the children started coming to his table at lunch.
Oh, y'all better catch that. Y'all better catch that.
Some children start coming to the table at lunch, and they start being what? Listeners and learners. And they start asking him questions like, tell us more.
Uh-huh.
8 years of age? Tell us more.
Yeah.
So other people will see him and say, I'm going this way. Other kids will seek him out at lunch and say, I'm hungry for more.
All right.
Tell me about this Jesus who you said loved me. Tell me about this Jesus you said he died on the cross, and he can describe the cross to you like a grown person.
All right.
And he's making a difference at his school. But now he's uncomfortable when they come to ask questions at lunch because he don't want the kid in trouble. But he said, it's in me to do.
Yeah.
It's in me to do. What's in you to do? Jesus said to them, go out and do it. He said, it's a multiply. Get out there and do it. He said, but y'all ain't ready for what I'm going to do through you in 2022. Just position yourself. Get ready for what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
All I really need from you is a yes. Are you really all in? That's all I really need from you. You've been learning. You've been listening. You've been leaning in. You've been put on pause. But guess what? Now it's time to step up the game.
All right. Come on.
It's time to step up the game. Get busy living your best life for him. Get busy living your best life for him. It's time for us to go and be and do all that he called and created us to be. It's time out for comfort and safety and laziness and all those things. And guess what? Sometimes we even use COVID for an excuse. But I've seen more folks saved during COVID over the computer. Did somebody not say that out loud? I did. Some people said they have come to Christ and joined churches through the computer because ministry didn't stop.
All right.
Ministry didn't stop. And so I want you to ask a question today. With the breath that we have today, how will we make it count? Will I complete my mission? Will he give me a well done? Will I live my whole life and get 90 and never reach my God-given potential? Will I leave it all on the field? Maxine and I get frustrated when the kids play. And when they don't give it all up, they don't give it all on the field. We be saying, come on, do the thing. Do the thing. You can't be tired. You're 14. Are you tired? You're 14. You ain't worked all day. Do the thing. And then what God would do, at the end, he says, the story goes like this. When you get to clean it up, you're going to have 12 baskets left over. You take one home. 12 baskets, 12 disciples. I want this to be a memorial. I want you to never forget what happened here today. Because you know they was already tired and hungry. So you go home and you eat. And you enjoy the fruit of your labor. 12 baskets, miraculously, were left over. So I just came by today to ask the question. Who's ready for what God's going to do through you in 2022? Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? Because again, you only need power and authority if you're in the game.
All right.
If you don't, need no power and authority if you're not at the job, make a difference, turn things upside down. My husband decided the other day, we had a good gal situated with her car and all that. So I get a car, and so I'm talking to the med salesman who bothers me. He's bothering me. I don't know why, but he's bothering my spirit. And so we kept talking. The pastor went on somewhere. Me and him kept talking. And so I was sharing with him. I don't even know why. We just talking. I don't even know why I'm telling him this. Why? Because I'm in ministry. And so I said to him, he says, what are you doing today? And I said, I have a couple of friends who are doing cancer treatments. And so every now and then, we take turns and we go to their house and we drop our food outside. I said, so today I felt led to be here. Ministry. Not on Facebook.
All nobody got to know. Take my own self money. Come on. Let my own self God provide it. Come on. And guess what? Took that little car that he gave me. Come on. The gift that he gave, I give it back to him. And we go around and we give out food to the people who are doing cancer treatments. It keeps them encouraged.
Uh-huh.
We have a couple friends, it keeps them encouraged. And so we go around and we do that. And so as I said it to him, he says to me, oh wow, so many people say that. He says, my wife is having cancer treatment at the car dealership. God will show me anywhere. And anytime. Ministry, it's always on time. It's always appropriate. And he said, well, he said, you see my hair? He said, I shaved my hair. My hair just coming back. I shaved my hair so I could be with my wife, and she was going to be losing her hair. So I shaved my hair. It's just not coming back. And he gets very teary-eyed. And I said to him, and so I just started talking to him. Just started talking to him. And he gets very uncomfortable. I said, let's go outside. Y'all miss it. So there's no separation of who I am at church and who I am. Come on, help me. Who we are at church is who we are. So come outside. He saw the stuff in his wife. And he says, I said, well, some days will happen when you know what? She will not even know what she's feeling. I said, so be patient with her if she's negative or if she's irritable. Because sometimes she doesn't really know how to explain to you what she needs. And I'm telling you this, and he's about to start crying because he's saying, sometimes I say everything wrong. And I'm telling him, it's more, it's not you. So I get to encourage him and speak life to him so he can go home and be equipped to go home and deal with every sheep when he gets to the house. So then the pastor walks up and he's like, okay, what we do? And I said, we talking to this man, his wife has cancer, and as I'm telling him all these things, and I said to him, we get to the car, and he gets outside, and he's telling me everything so far I want to know about his kids, they scared their mom won't die, he's dealing with all of that weight. I just came to get a car. But I didn't clock out this morning, because we always undo me. I really was on vacation, but ain't no vacation. When folks' lives are at stake.
All right.
Are we going to kingdom work?
Yeah.
Or are we not? And so I said to him, I don't have time right now for anything extra. I told him I am short staffed at work. I said, I don't know why, I said, sir, can I call you every week to check on you? He said, he doesn't look anything like me. I missed it. And I said, can I call you weekly and just check on you? Is that okay? And he said, he didn't even know how to answer that, Max. He said, well, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. And then he would say, that would be helpful. Y'all missed it. That would be helpful. And he was like, and I said, are you sure? He said, well, that would be okay. I said, great. Told the pastor the other day, we're going to send him a fruit basket so that him and the kids can have some fruit. Well, I send him a DoorDash so they can have a dinner and they can say, why don't we got cooking? Come on, help me somebody.
Yeah.
Take our own self money and do it. Okay, you missed it. Well, as I'm closing out, what is our greatest delight? If it's not mentioned. If it's not helping some young boys on a baseball team and coaching them, what's your greatest delight? Because guess what? I talked to a pastor and my brother Frazier the other day. I said, we're getting more homebound members right now. I said, somebody needs to call them weekly. So guess what? We're going to have a homebound ministry. Y'all ain't ready. When we see, when God presents a problem, we the answer to the prayer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't pray, just say yes, because you the answer to the prayer. Who do we need to call weekly and check on? How you doing? Sister, you're the best thing on the day all the time.
y'all ain't ready, y'all ain't ready, y'all ain't ready for 2022. But it's got to be the right heart person. The person has a servant spirit and that delights in serving. So whenever we decide to do that, we'll let you know. We're going to need two people to be reliable and responsible. Check on people once a week. Call, not rush them off the phone. Take the time. How are you doing? How are things going? What does that you need? They may say it's going to be nothing, but thank you for checking in. Do you know that's a phone call of life? A phone call of strength? Everybody busy. Whoever that was, I just kind of got out of your mind. Whoever said that. Everybody busy. Who's called to the homebound ministry? What are you called to? What are you called to? Y'all ain't ready for what God's gonna do. Gonna call a farmhouse. Gonna get the meals ready. 5 or 6 meals, we're gonna pick them up. Get your name on the list, remind you where you're here today. That's your name on the list. Do you know the word encouragement? In the word encouragement is the word courage in the middle. Can we give people courage to fight one more day? Change one more dollar? Hang it up with your husband? Hang it up with your wife? Can we do that as a church?
Yeah, yeah.
You got a ministry, you need something been bothering you, moments. Something been on your heart, something been on your mind. I'm talking to the pastor about this. Talk to the pastor about it. Because 2022 is here, it's time to do it now.
Thank you.
It's time to do it now. What's the thing that's been nagging you at night? What's that thing? What's that you need to serve? What's that thing? Come on, Max. The disciples were willing to be trained. They were willing to risk it all. And they always prioritize the kingdom. We've been trained long enough. We got a good pastor. We got a good teacher here. Come on, somebody. We got a good teacher. We've been trained. He said, now I'm going to send you out. You got power and you got the authority. When God brings people in here that's addicted to drugs, guess what? It behooves us to be ready.
Yeah, yeah.
When he brings in the homeless, it behooves us to be ready. Who's called to our homeless ministry? Who's called to them? There's a secret thing you and Jesus have been talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time to do that thing. It's time to do the thing. And I'm glad you don't have to wait till you're 49. Because little Nathan, 8 years old, said, Father, send me.
Yeah.
And little children gravitate to his table at lunch. And he used to tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Shame on us 8-year-olds. Us 50-year-olds.
Right.
He's not ashamed. He don't want to be suspended, but he ain't ashamed. He said, well, Mama, I don't know what else to do. He told his mom, he said, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to do it differently. And she called me and she said, what do I tell him? We want to follow the school rules. What do I tell him? But his heart is for his friends. And he wants them to go to heaven with him.
Uh-huh.
Who does that? It's a work on words. So that he can know how to go to school and still follow the rules, but still share Jesus. Because it's time now to share it with intensity. Remember, we talked about the 3 days show. Starting out slow, it's time to share it with intensity. It's time to do it with urgency. Whatever it is, it's time to do it with urgency. Showing us how to do it. How to tell the children, how to tell other people that he went to the cross and that he loved them so much.
Yeah.
It was like the children had never heard that before. That this time Jesus, this time God loved them so much. was a new thing for them. And they just been soaking up at the school. I'm going to ask just one question. Who's God going to bring your way this week? Who's he going to bring your way this week? The little girl emailed me back and she said, "Thank you for being willing to answer my questions. I'm going to call you when I have time. But thank you for the offer." I may be the only Bible that she'll ever read.
All right. You're right.
We can't miss these serious opportunities. Kingdom work is serious. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
We're all in. Whatever you want to do in us and through us in 2022, we're all in. We say yes, we surrender everything to you right now. Our agenda, our plans, our dreams, our hopes. We exchange our will for your will.
Yeah.
And it's your will that we be busy in your kingdom. There's so much hurt, so much confusion, so many things that I don't want in this world. And you call us to shine as bright lights. Use our lives to your glory. In this season, in this year, give us a burden. Give us something that bothers us. Give us some restless nights. We want to hear your voice so we can do and be all that you called us to be. All that you want us to do. We buy the spirit of laziness. Excuses. Yes, to your will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Shirley, Carrie does the Lord. Do that thing. And she did that thing.
Amen.
And overall, God did that thing. Amen. He'll do things to you, incredible things that you never even thought that you could do. So as the message being preached, you were like, you're reconsidering, rethinking, recommitting, amen, trying to figure out, okay, what's this year, especially at 22, what new things God may be calling me to, or what are the things that I used to do that God trying to renew me in. So keep considering those things. Let's give the Bible Master faith. He has a claim, a purpose, and assignment for all of us. And that's if we don't take care of those assignments, we are his body, we are his hand, his feet. We do his work. So let's consider that. Thank God for the word. We receive a sure, powerful word. Most of all, we know it's not only the sheriff, but it's God who is coming through. Sheriff and he. She was so obedient that to let him come through in that powerful way. So good to see all of you today. Amen. We're about ready to go. Hope you're going to have a great week and upcoming week. And if you're led by God and led by God's word, do some amazing things. And see God do some amazing things in your life. He is a great God. He is a really great God and worthy to be praised and adored. Thank you all. Yeah, we pray that if you don't know Christ, whether you're here in person, you're on the podcast or on the website, we hope that you'll come to know him. Amen. There's a place, I think, on most of those media that you come to know. Not just call number, church 9-0-3-9-1-5-0-8-6-5. Call that number, 9-0-3-9-1-5-0-8-6-5. We'll try to lead you to have a relationship with Christ. nothing to do about it. But the reason why, because everybody accepted their assignments and did incredible things. Our God did incredible things. So, all right, let's get ready to go to stand. Thank you again, Sheriff, for the powerful word. Thank you, Everett. God love it. Daniel, Donna, amen. I'm going to take her paper. She's going to college. She advertised what college she's going through today. Amen. We ain't going to say the name because more people got surprising more people later. Amen. Thank all of our officers. Thank y'all. Everybody that's here. I mean, this is what it is. Thank you. This is and believe this. All right, let's go. Now to him that's able.